You know, my very loving and God-trusting grandmother missed it. She was a worrier, and she passed that on to my mother, who was a worrier. So these two godly women, that's what they modeled for me. And I became that worrier. And, of course, then, on top of that, for those that know me well, I have a very extreme, active imagination. And at times it gets just out of control. And so, you know, so now I have this very vivid worry, everything that could happen. And I was like, why are they doing this? My grandmother, when I worked in high school and college, I worked a part-time job, well, full-time during the summer, at a hotel. And it was about 20 minutes from our home outside of the town. And I usually worked the afternoon shift, so I was when I was done between 11 and 11:30, I could drive home. Well, one day I walked in the house too soon, and my mom's hanging up the phone. I'm like, "Who are you talking to?" "Grandma." You know, at 11:45, you're talking to Grandma. Yeah, she just wanted to make sure you got home. I was in college. She was worried about you. I'm like, I've been doing this drive now for 3 years. And all of a sudden, you know, so that's, like I said, that's what was modeled for me. And all of a sudden, one day I went, you know what? Wait a minute. Where's that faith? Where's that trust in God? He promises me he will take care of me. Why can she not sleep till I get home? I mean, like, there's a disconnect here. Why is there so much chaotic thoughts that she can't have peace till I get home? And I went, you know, from this day forward, I am going to fight against this. I'm going to learn to walk in faith and not in fret. Not in fret. You know, trusting, as we've been learning, in God's sovereignty, in his mercy, rejoicing always, and turning to Jesus for my calm. Am I always successful? No, I'm on the journey too, but it's making that effort to do that. And today, we're going to turn and take one step farther on this journey to living in peace. And today, I'm going to be preaching on prayer, not despair, so that we really can learn to be anxious for nothing. Anxious for nothing. So we're going to go to our key verse that this whole series has been built on, Philippians 4, 4 through 8. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything. Wow, that just blows me away. Anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And also, I'm an English teacher. That "and's" really important. That conjunction brings it all together. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Wow, yes. Today I want to really focus on verse 6, which was, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Let's pray. Jesus, I just pray that you will speak deeply to our hearts. Let us hear what you have for us to hear and receive. And may make a change as we grow closer to you. And I just ask this, God, in your precious, mighty name. Amen. There's a story, a true story of a little girl. Beautiful baby girl. She was born. She was a promise and blessing from God. She was very precious to her parents, first child. Even after doctors had told the mother, didn't know if you could have children, so it was even more exciting. As she grew, she seemed to be very intelligent. She talked at a very early age. And by 7-8 months, whenever parent would walk into the room, if she was in her jumper or something, she'd turn and actually call them mama or dada, and speaking simple sentences at 10 months. She must have been told, I love you a lot, because that was her first sentence. At 8 or 9, right around that 8 or 9 month time, they took her to the doctor for her child visit. And the mother mentioned to the doctor that her eyes had been crossing a lot. And the doctor said, you know, not really, you don't really need to worry about that yet. If it continues by her 12 months, then, you know, we'll do the recommendation to see an pediatric ophthalmologist. But just observe. She started crawling, as babies do. And it was so cute because they noticed that when she crawled, she'd put her head down and go really fast. And it's just one of those babies that if you held, would just hide your face, just a lot of touch whenever someone was holding her. And 12 months came along, and the eye situation was not better. So the parents did make that appointment with a pediatric ophthalmologist. My thought was, how do you test someone that age, right? They deal with lights. They do a lot of things with lights and reflections. And thankfully, she was verbal, so she was able to tell some with pictures at that age. And it was then that the doctor turned to the parents and explained that their child's eyes were so extremely farsighted that she had not seen one single thing in her first year of life. Her eyes were so bad, the doctor goes on to report, that it almost set a record on how severe it could be. And then the doctor says, but there's good news. With glasses and patchings for the years to come, she's going to see well enough to eventually read and drive, and she's going to have a normal life. So, crushed and trying not to break down and cry, the mother determined that she was going to find her calm in Jesus. And she was going to go to Jesus for her daughter's healing. No one quite understood why the mother seemed to be so despaired at first. Everyone's like, it's not a major life-threatening thing, but the mom still felt very, very much initially this despair. And she's like, no, I'm going to trust in Jesus. So they did follow the doctor's instructions, and she wore glasses, and she suddenly was looking up when she was crawling. They patched for 6 long years. And to help straighten out that lazy eye that was also an issue. And there were a lot of tears by both that child and the mother on wearing those patches. And ever wonder why you don't see older kids wearing patches? Because by about age 7, 8, somewhere right in there, the muscles in the eye are fully developed. So they only have that limited amount of time to help that. So, however, these parents did take the child to be prayed for any time and every time there was an offer to prayer. No matter the place, no matter the occasion, even when their pastor seemed to get tired of them bringing her up for prayer for her eyes again this Sunday. But this child, she knew, she grew up knowing that I go up and ask for prayer every week. And she continued as she got a little bit older elementary, or younger elementary, and she would go up on her own. And Sunday after Sunday, and family members prayed for this healing. Nighttime before bed, they'd all pray together and pray for healing. And this child did grow up to be an avid reader, able to drive and do all the things normal children would do, just like the doctor said. And although her eyes would always need glasses, they did get better. And, you know, nowadays there's some wonderful advancement in technology. And now they'll do the scans when you go in for your eye exams, and they'll say, "Hey, you want to see your eyes?" And they pull it up on the screen, and you're looking, going, "Yes, I have no idea what I'm looking at." Very cool. Okay, but anyway, so then, and that happened with her as well. And it's so amazing all the things that they can now see, and much easier than when they were only looking through with lights and all. And they can see the back of your eyes now. Have you ever thought of that? And they can see and they can tell the health of your eyes from that. Well, this young lady now, at our last exam, the doctor told this very tenacious praying young lady that the backs of her eyes were completely the shape they were supposed to be, which never happens with eyes as bad as hers. Jesus. And as she related this exciting news to her mom, they immediately praised Jesus for his healing touch. They knew it was because they did not give up, and they kept going to Jesus for prayer. See, God did not heal my daughter Ashley's eyes the way I wanted or thought it should happen, but he still healed them and did a miracle that tells of his great power because we did not give up. Thank you, Jesus. I did ask her if I could share her story. Because it was through prayer and not despair, we saw God's miracle. You know, I did feel despair that first visit. I really did. But I knew there is a God who still does miracles today. Amen. You know, a pastor said that. Are you ready for a miracle? Yes, he is here and ready to do miracles still today. I knew it was Jesus I needed to go to. I had no one else. And over, I would go to him about Ashley's eyes. When I was pregnant with our second child, which is Joel, I prayed diligently over his eyes as he was growing within me. And he's also a product of that prayer because he has more than perfect vision. He has 20/10 and 20/15 in his two eyes. Yay, Jesus. I did not care if I sounded desperate with Jesus when I prayed. I guess I was. I really wondered if God was kind of tired of hearing my voice, my requests, my supplications. But you know what? He wasn't. He was not. God never tires of hearing from us. Never tires from hearing from us, from you, from me. In fact, God loves the sound of your voice, always. Think about that. God loves the sound of your voice, always. Now, as a teacher, I sometimes find that hard to believe. Because I have some of those students that just seem to never stop talking, and I would just like them to stop. I personally get tired of their voice, but God doesn't get tired of mine. Because I haven't told a story yet of my other child, Caleb, I'll throw one in for him, too. When he was in elementary school, the teachers would tell us, oh, how quiet he was. And it was like, never fear, he's not at home. He'd hit the door home from school, and he would not stop talking till he went to bed that night. He saved up all his words just for us. And it was like, please stop talking for a few minutes. But God, nope, he's not like that at all. He never tires of our voice. Because God loves the sound of your voice. In fact, he wants to hear it more. And that's what prayer is. It's talking with God. We make it out too often to be something else, but it isn't. Just be with him. Use those 15 minutes in the morning. Be with him. Wow, I had never put out that time frame, Pastor, of what it would be in a year, in a month. Wow. To be and talk with God, God of the universe. And you know what's going to happen when we pray? Peace. Peace. According to verse 7 of our text. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Yet there's a key in verse 6, in the verse right above it, that sometimes we miss, that I want to really unpack so we can find out how to sink into that peace. So I'm going to read that again. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. It's that last part. Present your requests to God. Okay, so what's the request? A request is a specific petition or appeal or plea. We are to ask with thanksgiving, which suggests humility, and acknowledgement of who God really is. However, we still need to state our request. So, kind of a nerd here, love to do research, so I went, I wonder what that Greek root really is all about. And I was like, so I went back and looked it all up. And the root is actually to ask, beg, care for, crave, desire. Whoa. Wow. He really wants to know our deepest longings. He wants to have that communication. We need to tell exactly to God what we want. You know, I wanted my daughter's eyes to be healed. They are. No, she can't see like I wanted them. Yeah, that wasn't the kind of healing, but her eyes themselves are healed. When we pray, we need to be specific, and there are three reasons for that. A specific prayer is a serious prayer. A specific prayer is an opportunity for us to see God at work. And a specific prayer creates a lighter load. We're going to take and unpack those for a few moments. A specific prayer is a serious prayer. Max Lucado uses the example, if I look and I see and I say, hey, Valerie, Mind if I come over Friday night? Sure, right? All right. Maybe I will. Maybe I won't. Just that really let her know if I'm really coming or what Friday night. Where if I say, hey, Valerie, can I come over this Friday night? I have a problem at work and I really need your advice. I can be there at 7. I promise I'll leave by 8. Awesome. We'll be there. It's a date. You can tell I'm much more serious, right? Because I was so specific. And that's what we need to do with God. Be specific. Almost 2 years ago at work, I fell. Some of you will remember I was on crutches. It seemed like forever. And I had to go to PT for months. And during that time, I found out that my left leg was slightly shorter than the other. And I could wave the one and swing it. But it was throwing my back off, and it was actually hindering my healing. And I shared that story that summer, but it's worth repeating that one morning right here in service, sitting right there, we were singing and worshiping God, and I'm having a conversation with God. And I'm like, you know, if my leg, it would help my back. If my leg was the same size, and then it should help my knees. And I'm just in this pain. And Jesus just finally says to me, Jill, what do you want me to do? You know, I was just rambling on and on and on. What do you want me to do? And I replied, I want my leg to be the same length as the other. And immediately I felt that leg, my foot, push into my shoe. And God grew my leg right there in the worship service. Because we have a powerful God that when we are specific, He is here to meet needs. It was so much like the blind man Bartimaeus from Mark 10, 46 through 52, who was calling out to Jesus, even when others were trying to have him stop bothering Jesus. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked him. And the blind man said, Rabbi, I want to see. Go, said Jesus, your faith has healed you. Immediately, he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. It was just like that. What do you want? Instead of worrying or fretting over our prayers, speak specifically what your need or request is and ask Jesus to meet it. Don't be vague or wishy-washy. Well, really need financial issues here, God, having some problems. Could you meet that? What? What? Do you need money for rent? Do you need money for food? What do you need? Be specific. Ask Jesus to meet instead of worrying or stressing over it. Again, for me, it's a process too. But when I do it, we see God work. And that's the next point, is when our prayers are specific, we give the opportunity to see how God will work and what He will do. Bartimaeus and all the people around got to see God's mighty power and healing, because suddenly this man can see. And when God grew my leg, I can't swing my one foot over the other like I used to. I told my colleagues, I shared that story because it tells the power of God. We need to speak these things as if they were in faith believing. We need to be specific. My best friend from college, her name is Kim, and She's been couch surfing for years. If you don't know what that means, living with different people while she's been homeless trying to get a place of her own. She suffered a botched surgery back in the 90s and ended up with some brain injury. So she's moved around a lot, and that's another story, and God's going to still work that for his glory. But she ended up living with this one lady in her home, and she was really excited because she actually got to have her own room and a bed. So that was a great blessing. And she called me just that first week she was there, and she was so thankful, again, to have this place to stay in her own room and a bed. And she says, but the bed is just too soft. I am in such pain. I said, I don't know what the solution is. And I said, whoa, whoa, pray. And I felt God, as we started to pray, specifically pray that the bed would become firm. Yes. Yes, that's how I prayed. And about a week later, she called me, and she's laughing, and she's going, hey, Jill, when you prayed that prayer, I was just thinking, she is nuts. Beds do not suddenly become firm. And I said, I know, I thought so too, and I prayed it all week for you. And I said, that's what God said to pray. She said, yeah, I know. And she said, but the lady she was helping her change the sheets on the bed, and she noticed while they were doing that there's this extra soft pad on the bed. And she said to her, does that come off? She said, yeah, but then the bed's not very soft at all. And she said, can we take it off? And she said, certainly not a problem. They rolled it up, and she's like, guess what? The bed is firm. You know, I'm sorry, that sounded, I'm praying this prayer going, oh God, I do not know how you are going to make a soft bed firm, but I am going to pray, believing to see you work. And he did. And he did. When we pray, we have to believe God is really going to answer. We have to anticipate in faith God providing and coming through, even when it doesn't necessarily make sense to us. Then when he does, we need to share that exciting news with others. Which brings me to my last point, that specific prayer creates a lighter load. You know, like I said, Kim had no idea how God was going to provide a firm bed. But she believed he would. Continued to pray, not knowing, thinking, I have no idea. But it's only ridiculous in the human sense. It's not ridiculous in the supernatural. Because Luke 1:38 from the Message says, nothing you see is impossible with God. Nothing. Nothing is impossible with God. And by us being specific in our prayers, including everything, it's going to make our load lighter. We bring it down to size. It's not overwhelming in our mind. So what if you have a meeting that day, you know, with that one person who really knows how to push all your buttons? You know that person I'm talking about? I have one of those too. I wish I only had one of those. Okay. So our prayer for, you know, that meeting, you know, I'm having a meeting today with that, I don't know, cranky, stubborn, you fill in the adjective person, you know, client, parent, student, coworker, supervisor, at 3 p.m. And I need your wisdom. How do I handle this situation in a Christ-like manner? It makes me feel intimidated. It makes me feel insecure. Please soften my heart to be receptive, to hear and understand their side before defending myself. Please prepare his heart and mind for this meeting. Please give us wisdom to do what is best for this situation and then name what that situation is. And let me reflect you, not get my flesh in the way. About a month ago, I had one of those meetings and I prayed that specifically. And I was just rejoicing, walking out the door going, whoo, Jesus did just that. Because we are going to have those situations. But Jesus wants to walk us through. Notice I didn't tell God what to do, but I've taken him my cares and my concerns on every aspect of it. And by doing that, I cast my cares on him. We give him all these things that could go wrong. Again, mine's a very long list with my very active imagination. And I turn them over to him. Cast. Throw. Forcefully. In a specific direction. That's what Google says cast is. We need to take that worry, that concern, that anxiety, and allow God to superimpose his words and promises over it. Allow him to change it and make it into something for his glory. Now, I have a picture here of a superimposed image because we see a lot of it now in graphics and where they have one and they put another image on top of an already existing to add to the effect of it. And so the original image, I'm not even sure which one is the original image. But notice that's how we're supposed to take and put God on top of our anxieties, our worries, our cares, that it covers up because we have cast. We have cast it to him. In our devotional book, the 40 Days to a Joy-Filled Life. And, oh, by the way, if you haven't started, jump in, get it today, join in, and start reading it with us. It's amazing. It read, starve worry, fear, and doubt by no longer nourishing them with your attention. Except that your focus brings about your feelings. If you have an urge to go negative, remember that doing so cannot produce anything positive. Can we put that image back up? Thank you for that, Stephen. You're doing awesome. See, so we have our worries. We have our cares. And we superimpose. We cast Jesus because we're starving it. We're taking it away. That only he is showing. Thank you. We need to use his word, God's word, as our anchor and populate our prayers with you said or your word says. Your word says, Jesus, that you were pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. You were beaten so we could be whole. You were whipped so I could be healed. So I'm asking for healing today for... What are you asking for healing for? Or I'm asking for help with my rebellion of, what is it? He says he'll take it. His word promises. Or how about from 2 Timothy 2:6 through 8? For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. So I do not have to fear this person or this situation I am facing. I can act with self-control, but I want to lash out at that coworker. take his word, apply it. And when we do, we are casting our problems, our needs, our worries onto Jesus. Ready? We are throwing. We are throwing it to him. I don't have it anymore. I don't have it anymore. We're not playing catch. I don't want to take it back from Jesus. I don't want to play catch. I'm not throwing it up and catching it myself. I've done that. Oh, God, I have such this need. I need you to do it. Oh, okay, I told you. Hold on. No. Don't put it back in your pocket. Don't keep playing with it. Throw it. Get rid of it. Whoops. Cast it away. Give it to Jesus. Let him keep it. He can fix it and give you peace as he does. Jesus wants you to have a lighter load. But we have a part in casting it to him. Our needs, our worries, our anxiety. But first we have to come to him. We have to ask him for forgiveness for what we've done wrong. And we need to make him number one in our lives. That's the first step in finding peace in this chaotic world. I used to have an old bumper sticker. It was no Jesus, N-O, no peace. No, K-N-O-W, Jesus, no peace. Jesus wants to be our very best friend. Besides being our Redeemer, our Savior, and all we have to do is invite him to come into our lives and daily start talking to him. The worship team comes. As we start talking to Jesus, we need to get specific with our prayers. We're going to find by being specific, we're going to have much more serious prayers as we know precisely what we're asking. And we're going to see God work as we pray for specific opportunities for God to move. You're going to see him move mightily. And through that, we're going to find our load is so much lighter because we're going to be casting more and more on him and taking less and less on ourselves. What are you waiting for? As soon as you sense the anxiety, any of it, that starts and it builds up inside of you. We need to cast it on Jesus. Don't let it build up. I know it's hard at first because we think, or at least I do. And it's like, no, I'm going to cast it to you, Jesus. I'm not going to let it overwhelm me. It's your problem. I'm going to go to Jesus who gives me peace because he paid the ultimate price with his life. So I can have ultimate freedom. Let's pray. Yeah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Wow, thank you for who you are. Thank you so much. I thank you.